Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another Hot Take Show with your Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My co-hosts for this one are going to be Jeremy Schilling. You can find him, JT Schill 20 with two L's, and Dougie Doug Atchison from Mass at D Atchison, 23. So that's where you can find us. Red Sox in a bit of a weird downward spiral over that last game. Really ugly. Jordan Hicks on IL, probably the best thing I've heard in the last, I don't know how many days, but this is about hot takes and not about Jordan Hicks. So Jeremy, why don't you lead us off with your hot take?
Yeah. I'm going to do 20 seconds on the state of the team as my opinion. And look, losing Anthony's tough. This team has won on the back of the pitching staff and the back end of the bullpen. From my perspective, nothing's changed there. I'm excited for Toley's start tomorrow. If they continue to pitch like they have, and obviously Crochet had a, and I'm going to get into this in a second, spoiler alert, Crochet had a terrible start. Assuming that's not what he is, and that's the assumption I'm going to make, this team is where they are largely because of the way they've pitched since July. Assuming they continue to pitch well, I don't think they fall out of a playoff spot. I'm not doomsday like everyone else. I'm a little bit butthurt about Roman not being in the lineup and what that means to for run production, but they can still get to 4 or 5 runs a game and find ways to win, especially with the softer schedule down the stretch. So I'm not, you know, saying it's over and doing all this nonsense that some people I've seen on Twitter. So to my hot take. This comes from a friend of the program. He writes for the Boston, the Bastard Substack. Johnny Fontaine, we all know him. At Johnny Fontaine 1 says Garrett Crochet has pitched 178 innings and will probably end up at 200. His previous high was 146. He has struggled in his last few starts. It won't get any better for the rest of the year, just like Houck last year. At JT Schill 20 will disagree with this take. The last part of the tweet is the part I agree with. Obviously, the stats about the pitching, he will end up at around 200 innings. I believe he still leads the American League in innings pitched. To me, this, Johnny, love you, mean it. To me, this is just a lazy take. It's just a lazy take. He's coming off a bad start. Everyone loves to talk about the previous innings pitched. And I agree, and there's value in it. But can we just maybe look at, he didn't locate that he's been going into that start, 1 or 2 as far as the odds-on favorite to win the Cy Young. And now we're going to go into, well, this is who he is. He's over his innings limit, and this is who he is. He's going to give up a bunch of home runs, and he's not going to keep us in games. Guys, he's still an ace. He's had one bad start. He would missed in the middle of the plate, right? And he's not Max Velo because he's a starter. He's obviously taking care of himself. He's got a huge frame. This isn't a 5'10", 165-pound guy that just slings it where you're almost waiting for the elbow. Johnny, I agree with you, not just one bad start. But he, again, he's one of the – he is arguably the best pitcher in the American League. I think Scooble is. But he's still the top, one of the top guys. What are you expecting from him? It's just it, – to me, it's just like the innings – so anyways, I'm going to get back to my point. He's a guy that takes care of himself. He's got a number of pitches to get people out. It's not just a fastball. Huge body, huge frame. I'm not saying he's going to be like he was in the peak of the season, but to say he's just going to flame out and essentially not perform as an ace, I don't expect. He's got the right mindset. The team is playing better defense behind all of the pitching staff. And I think all those things factor in. I also do think if this team can continue to win and take care of the Athletics, like I hope they will, as we have like 7 games coming up against them, there's an opportunity, if not to miss a start, to extend him to a 6th or 7th day, if possible, so that he's not on every 5th day going into the postseason. And if those things occur, you know, I like our chances down the stretch if he's pitching to win the game. And I do believe we should win every crochet start down the stretch.
Jeremy, I completely agree with literally everything you were saying. I really do. I'm not panicking about Roman either. Like, yeah, that sucks. But I totally agree with you. We still have the same end of the rotation. We still have an ace. I love Bayo. I think we're still in a very, very good spot. And Crochet, like the innings thing with Crochet is he's a young pitcher and he pitched for a horrible team. So, yeah, his innings are going to be higher right now. But, you know, he seems like he's ready for it. Just because you have a bad start, I'm not taking anything from that. He a couple bad starts, well, Johnny will say, sure, that's fine. But, you know, his ERA is, you know, 3rd in the league, 2nd in the league. Like, you can't just expect a guy to go out there and throw a shutout every game.
Agreed.
You know, and he still is striking out. He still goes in there and strikes out a high number no matter what. He's still our ace, and he's still an ace that everyone should have faith in, that is a guy that can carry you throughout a playoff series.
Yeah, so I'm going to throw this in there too. So, Johnny, we always appreciate your takes. I'm absolutely flabbergasted that you'd attack Jeremy the way you did. But I'm going to have to try to forgo
violence.
This one. And yeah, I'm over it though. I mean, we like Johnny. So here's the good news, right? I actually think he's better than Tarik Skubal. Everyone keeps saying, "Oh, well, that's another clunking performance." Whatever. Go ahead and look at the numbers, because I've said this so many times before that numbers do not lie. They do not. Both Tarik Skubal and Garrett Crochet have 6 games this year where they've allowed 4 earned runs, or technically, 4 runs or more. Each one of them had an appearance where most or a large majority of those runs were not earned. They've had 6 bad starts, and bad means 4 earned runs or more. 4. It sucks that 4 home runs were all allowed in the same game. 3 home runs in the same inning against guys that probably shouldn't be hitting home runs. It is what it is. At the end of the day, I would still rather have Garrett Crochet over Tarik Skubal. That's just a personal preference. For me, if I see Tarik Skubal, I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. If I see Garrett Crochet, I'm like, I'm just going to either go back to the dugout or I'm just not going to swing at 99. I'm not concerned at all. Every single person that says, oh, well, he's never done this before, is your expectation that he should only throw 140 innings? Because that's not realistic. That's not baseball. There are going to be starters that have 200 plus innings. So his previous high of 146 innings, that's because he wasn't a full-time starter. He was a reliever first. So we're pointing out fluffed facts here. It's not like he's been a starter his entire career. He was a closer, missed a whole season, came back, then became, you know, shifted into a starter, then was a starter again, was shelved because they had an innings limit. That's it. That's the only reason why he hasn't hit 200 innings. That's it. He probably would have had more than 146 innings if they weren't being conscientious about it. Yeah, sure, he struggled a couple of times, But if Tarik Skubal starts struggling, are we then going to say, oh, he's pitched too many innings? No, these guys are supposed to be your workhorses. Tarik Skubal's the guy who I want to throw six, seven innings every single appearance. I expect you to win on Crochet Day. He should have 20 wins this year. This is the Cliff Lee effect, where the guy goes seven innings, allows one earned run, and takes the L. I mean, it's ridiculous that he has to almost be perfect sometimes for him to register the victory. If you don't believe me or you don't know what I'm talking about, go look back at his games. He's had multiple games where he's allowed one run or less and registered either the loss or no decision. He should have 20 wins this year. He is the best pitcher in the American League. And honestly, if you're going to argue and say Tarik Skubal, that's fine. Tarik Skubal's on Detroit, though. He's playing with the Tigers, and the Tigers actually have a really, really good team. There's no excuse for him to not have 20 wins. We have busted players. We have rookies who are injured. You know, Chris was talking about how we were like a 4A team. We're better than the minors, but not a full major league team. I kind of like disagree with it, but he's not like completely far off. Between the two, there's no excuse why Skubal doesn't have 20 wins. It's understandable why Crochet doesn't have 20 right now. So I'm not worried and I'm not concerned. It is what it is. He is going to struggle just like every single pitcher. At the end of the day, I'd still rather have Crochet over any other pitcher in Major League Baseball. I don't care.
Anything else? I don't know really who's better, but I think Crochet would deserve the Cy Young just for being in the AL East. I think that would give him the nudge with the numbers are so close between them, and he just pitches in a way better division.
Decent point, Doug.
That's totally fair. If you have to put Crochet against Skubal and the teams, the prospective teams that they're on, out of 10 games, who has a better 10-game stretch if they face each other 10 times?
I mean, I don't know. To me, they're both excellent pitchers.
Right.
He's our guy, so I'll take Crochet. But it's like, who's arguing about, hey, you take team A, whatever the team is. You can have Crochet or Skubal. It's like, are you
going to
make a bad decision doing that? No. I mean, they're 1A and 1B in the league. So yeah. I just want to – can I make a prediction?
Sure, bud.
Next year, after a couple bad starts – we're going to hear from the Twitter people. Well, he's breaking down. He threw 200 innings last year plus the playoffs.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? And it's going to be the ultimate double-edged sword where in 2025 we're getting he's so far past his innings limit. And it's true and it's fair and it's something to consider. I just don't think it's the be-all and end-all. And next year we're going to have, well, of course he's going to break down. He pitched into October and had 225 innings. It's like, guys, he is a workhorse. That's why they scouted him. They signed him. They didn't do that on a whim. They looked at and they waited till he got into camp. What kind of person do we have? What's his workout? How's he taking care of himself? They saw the athlete, not just who we see, and they made the investment intentionally. And I'm sure there was information from Chicago as well. Maybe he's just that guy. And look, I could be wrong. And Johnny, you know, pointed out to me in a message that I was wrong on Houck last year, and he's going to come after me again if I'm wrong here. But that's not going to change my opinion for today's show. That's how I feel. You know, I was bullish on Toley after the last start, and I was kind of pretty quick to say, you know, I think this might be a guy that we can expect to pitch in the playoffs and hold a rotation spot through September. I might be wrong. We'll find out tomorrow night. But that's just my bird's eye view of it, and that's where I'm going with it. And I just want to point out and predict the double-edged sword that's going to land next year.
So, yeah, Jeremy, those people can kick that can down the road. For years, really, until it comes. They'll just keep saying, oh, he's overworked.
I'm going to say this as well. People that are concerned about gas in the tank, right, or how much more he's got left for the year, Garrett Crochet is 6'6", 250. They should be his nickname should be Butch. Like, just because no one's going to mess. If Garrett Crochet is coming at you, are you going to go head on and think you have a chance? This isn't Tim Lincecum, who's like 5'10", 160, soaking wet. He's 100 pounds heavier than him. He's got the extra muscle. Chris Sale, for example, right? Chris Sale, I'm not. Different, just different mechanics. But you know, Chris Sale was skinny in relation to Crochet. He's beefy. This is a like a robust man. Like this is not someone I expect to break down. So I think that's, you know, that just
he's built more like Verlander, Clemens, like big body guys that, and I'm not saying because, you know, everyone's had an injury. I'm just saying, you know, from a physique perspective, he looks like he could be in a better position for longevity. And obviously no one here is going to be able 100%. To predict that. You know, who knows what happens, but from history, from the guys that do pitch, and Verlander's still pitching.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I'm not saying he's going to be Verlander, Johnny. Don't come after me again.
Great. So moving forward, Dougie, who do you have for, what do you have for your hot take?
Yeah, we're going to go to, our man Felico, fellow bastard. And, he says the Red Sox are more likely to be playing for the third wild card than the AL East when we play the Blue Jays at the end of the season. This is one that I think I'm with Jeremy. I definitely disagree with, just on what Jeremy was saying earlier, that I don't think that, you know, the house is on fire just because Roman got hurt. Yeah, he's probably our best hitter right now. But we have really good hitters in this lineup, and we have really good pitching in this rotation. And we have really good relievers at the end of the rotation, and our schedule favors us very much. And you know, we take care of the Diamondbacks this weekend. We take care of the A's. You know, we're going to go into that Baltimore series with a chance that, you know, obviously you don't expect to sweep the Blue Jays, but you know, if you do, then you would maybe take the division if it's two games, if it's one and a half, and I still think we will be in that position when that time comes, then dropping into the third wildcard spot behind Seattle.
Jeremy.
So, by the way, I didn't mean to step on your toes, Doug. That might have been a little...
No.
Look... It's just easy now, and I know there's some serious Cora bashing going on in the comments, and I'm reading all of them. And so anyone that's submitting a comment, I read them. The scheduled loss by Cora just came on the wrong day after a major injury. So it's like we lose a key offensive plug, and then we have a scheduled loss. I'm looking at the lineup. Bregman's not playing third. You know, Bernardino's out there for what seemed like only three batters because they immediately went to Hicks. It just looked bad today, and then we don't play today. So you're as good as your next day starter. I'm fascinated to see what happens with Tolley tomorrow. So to directly comment on Chris's take, I still think the pitching, assuming I'm right and we're not going into Johnny territory where Crochet becomes a puddle, they're within distance of the AL East. It's a closer thing. The schedule's the thing that keeps me optimistic with the overall general health outside of Roman. We got to beat the Athletics. We got to go 5-2 against the Athletics. And if that happens, I just don't see where the collapse is going to come if the pitching continues to be good. And by that, I mean Crochet returns back to form. Bayo continues to be, I think, your clear-cut number two. Giolito is right there with him with starts that dictate that he's going to get the third start at least in the playoffs. We'll see with Tolley. I know that's up in the air. And you got to figure out the fifth spot. But the front of this rotation has been so good. I think it's going to prevent the sort of sustained losing streak where we find ourselves essentially backing into the playoffs. I personally don't think either is likely. I don't think they're going to win the AL East, and I don't think they're going to get the third wild card. I said on the show with Terry and I think it was Chris on Monday night that I think they're going to finish in the second wild card, and I think they're going to go to New York. And or vice versa, it's that just seems like the it's destined to be the matchup, and so that's what I think is going to happen. And if they do, I like our chances. We've had their number all year. I know that regular season success against the team is not a great predictor of what's going to happen in a playoff series, but I like the front of our rotation better than them, and I think we're going to find a way to get to that 4-5 run mark where you can win playoff games.
So I'm just looking at the wild card perspective. I understand where Chris is coming from, but that kind of feels like doom and gloom, which Chris, I think you're just frustrated, and I get it. So Chris is talking about us possibly getting the third wild card. A lot has to happen in order for that to happen. You literally have to watch this team probably blow an eight game losing streak. And that's not going to happen. This team is not going to lose eight in a row. The Yankees have been, you know, warming up, but over the last 10, the Yankees have made up one game difference. That's it. Their home records are very similar. Their away records, again, also very, very similar. The Red Sox have won a couple extra games at home. The Yankees have won a couple extra games on the road. The teams on paper are very, very similar. Seattle, far, far behind. And if Cal Raleigh's not ripping right now, this team isn't going to go anywhere. I don't trust that Texas has what it takes. They would have to make up six games over the next 20 in order to advance and beat the Red Sox. And that would also mean having to, you know, do well against the Mariners as well, because if you're beating up on the Mariners too, it doesn't hurt. It only helps us. So I think that a first or second wild card in my eyes is probably the worst. That's the basement for the Red Sox for the remainder of the season. I don't want to say that having the one isn't out of the question, but I mean, division at this point would be pretty tough. I mean, Toronto's been kind of like goofy scuffling, but they've been a fun team. They figured it out. And I just don't really see us missing the playoffs at this point. There have been a lot of players that have stepped up. We obviously know that Roman Anthony went down, but literally barring a major collapse, and I mean like eight game losing streak, we're not missing the playoffs. And even if that does happen and it comes to the final two, three games, it would take that, because no team is going to make up six games in the next 2 weeks. That's just not happening. Not Texas, and definitely not Seattle. So I'm not too worried about it. I think we're going to, you know, to your point, Jeremy, second wild card is the basement for the Red Sox right now.
I agree.
You know, anything else we want to add to that one?
No.
Cool. This is going to be fun. Third take. This coming to us from Can't Stand Ya, Dylan. I tried my hardest to say it like Dougie would say it. Re-signing Bregman is dependent on his play in September. Well, I disagree. If the expectation is 175 at 5 years, you're simply just out of your mind. It's not going to happen. That's a ridiculous amount of money. He is only going to probably be there for two of the 5 years and be like actually relevant. But you've already started to see major regression. Quad is not healing the way it's supposed to. Why is that? He's not 20 years old anymore. He's older. Facts are facts. Your body breaks down when you get older. You're not going to start healing faster. If you do, I would start to question it. I appreciate the leadership that he has shown. I appreciate the fact that he's taken players under his wing when he was unable to perform. And I'm not talking about hitting the lineup. I'm talking about just be there. And he's taking four or five rookies in the corner, showing them what they need to do to tweak their stance. You know, attack the ball better, attack the pitcher better, you know, be mindful about where the fielders are, just be smart. And he's doing that. I appreciate that. I don't think I can say that that is worth $175 million over the next 5 years. I'm unwilling to take that, because if you're willing to take that, you should be fine with Yoshida. You should be fine with Hicks, because the last 2 years of that contract, you're going to be paying $35 million for a bench player. And you don't need to spend $35 million for leadership. There will be other players that can be leaders for a third of that. So I think that money better be spent elsewhere. Like, gee, I don't know, maybe the rotation or the bullpen, just a thought, but there are going to be other options out there. I know that Schwarber's a lefty. Schwarber's got 50 home run power, and he's going to be had for a lot less than $35 million per.
And shorter term.
Yeah. 3 years. Jeremy, why don't you go next on that one?
So I'll talk about some of the other stuff, but for me, this begins and ends with the discussion of ownership. For those of you that have been following this since I've been back on the show, which is about a year and a half now, John Henry is a POS and Sam Kennedy lies. So they're going to lie to you and say they're involved. And it's going to be the Juan Soto thing where they get outbid. They're not going to commit this type of dollars to a guy on the wrong side of 30. They bended the knee a little bit just to get him here. And a deal that if he did essentially what he's doing what he's now doing, which is opting out and giving him the out. So they went in for 2025 and they could say they spent, but they reasonably believed he wasn't going to be here in 2026. If Bregman is going to do this, and I'll comment on that in a second, he's not coming back. Okay, he's not. And that's an ownership thing. It's not because the player doesn't want it, the fan base doesn't want it, Cora doesn't want it, the clubhouse doesn't want it. It's because John Henry's cheap. Now, by the way, just an anecdote on this. When you go sign a superstar, you understand that to get him for 80% of the contract being the good time, you have to eat the money on the back end when he's regressed. That's just how it is. Do you think the Angels are upset they had pool holes for 10 years?
Right.
No, because he gave them seven elite years. And sure, at the end, he could barely run to first base. But guess what?
Right.
That's the price you paid to get him for seven good years.
I agree.
So John Henry, the businessman and not the owner of the fan owner of the Red Sox, sucks, and I can't stand it. Now, the measure of what Bregman's meant to this team goes beyond his play on the field. We've already discussed it. Charlie, you hit on it. He's clearly a leader. There's clearly a better atmosphere, a better clubhouse personality, because Bregman and Story are there and they're contributing. 100%. That part of it's immeasurable, but I don't think you pay this type of money for the leadership. And so the second quad injury he's had in the last few years, some of those things, I think the regression with Bregman is going to be quicker than normal. I'd like to see him opt into at least one more year and get him while he's still in the back end at his end of his prime. But if you're talking about five guaranteed years, I just think it's going to handicap the roster sooner rather than later. And to me, it comes with too much risk. And that's outside my assessment of ownership, because I don't think this is a realistic discussion based on what we know of John Henry.
I want to say one more thing to this really quickly. So we've talked about regression, right? Alex Bregman has one extra base hit since the 21st. Of August. We're going on 2 weeks with one extra base hit. Like, that's like Connor Wong territory. And if you really want to go that far back, his last home run was against Houston. That was the 12th of August. So we're closing in on a month without a home run. And I mean, sure, Bregman could hit, a Breggy bomb and that could happen. But last month at 260, only had two home runs. He hit them both against his former team. Two home runs and four RBIs against Houston. Zero home runs and five RBIs for the remainder of the month. I'm sorry, that will not do. This month, 2-for-14, limited sample size. It's Cleveland, not a sexy team. Only one strikeout, the only high note. One single, one double, an RBI, and a pair of runs scored. Great defense, don't get me wrong. That's not worth $40 million. I'm sorry. It's just not worth $40 million. Look at the contract that Jose Ramirez signed in Cleveland. He said, I just want to be here. I'm not trying to break the bank. I want to be a team player. Go bring in talent. And he's having a bit of an off year, and there's been a little bit of regression there. But if you're Cleveland, you can't possibly hate that deal, because he's given you so much, and he took a major pay cut. I mean, we're talking took a shot in the pants and then said, yes, please, may I have another? That kind of shot in the pants. Bregman's not doing that. And sure, if he opts in for one more year, sure, that's going to be $40 million on the books on paper, right? There's some deferred money there. $40 million. There are people here who want an additional $135 million after, that year, like restructure, redo it. It doesn't make sense. Why would you, fix a bad contract with a worse contract. It's just not smart baseball. Bregman is a good player. He is not the best at third base anymore. And he's not, you know, sadly, I don't think he's going to be worth $40 million next year. And I definitely don't think he's going to be worth $40 million the following year after that. He's not going to be worth $35 million for 4 years after that or 5 years after that either. So the narrative that that's got to be where you spend the money blows my mind. Trevor Story has more than exceeded anybody's expectation. He's done more this year than he has all contract with the Red Sox. Granted, there's been some injuries. There's been some issues there. But I would be more concerned about Trevor Story not coming back than I would be about Bregman. I think you've got to be smart about it. And honestly, you've got rookies that can play different positions in the infield. If Bregman doesn't end up coming back, my hope is that those youngsters that worked with Bregman are able to retain that knowledge and not go, I don't remember. It's just not realistic. You can't not listen to a player like Alex Bregman when he's talking. He's got way too much experience. He's a vet at third base. You don't just forget how to play a position. You don't forget all the tools you've learned, you know? Yeah, Dougie, go ahead.
Bregman started the August hitting 300. Now it's like 280. Mm-hmm. But I'm not – I definitely haven't given up on him. I definitely don't think like he's washed or he can't pick it back up for the rest of the season. I think he will. I think he'll lead this team. I think he knows now with Roman down, he really needs to step up and really grind this last month and into the playoffs. He really needs to pick it up. And for the contract, obviously, if that number is real, like, we're not going to do that, obviously. So, but he was really late to sign, right? He didn't sign till like late, right? Like after it was like February or something. He didn't sign till, right? So, you know, maybe he goes searching for that contract. Maybe he doesn't find it. And maybe he signs, and then maybe he signs late again, and maybe you can get him for a little cheaper. Because I'm not against signing him. I'm not against him being our long-term third baseman, but obviously for that number, it just wouldn't work.
So here, I'm going to pivot here because I've already kind of said my piece.
Yeah.
The timing of this shocks me. And I don't think this is Bregman leaking this. He's been utterly and totally silent on this topic all year. So the timing of it, off day, stretch run, where they are in the standings, the leader he's been, the model citizen, all coming back from the injury, all of it doesn't lead to this type of player saying this right now. So I'd be really, really interested. And if there's been reporting on this today, I wasn't on the internet much because I was working, but this really sounds like an agent going out over his ski poles and trying to stir stuff up with time to negotiate. And I'd be interested if Bregman's pissed. And I'm sure you guys will hit it in the comments if there's more information out there on this, because I haven't seen it. It just seems out of character for everything we've seen from this player since the minute he signed. So is this manufactured? Is this the agent doing this? Is this another club stirring stuff up? It just doesn't seem like it's coming from Bregman. And so, you know, I don't have anything other than to point that out. I don't have any theories. I don't have any additional take. It just is so odd, the timing of it. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Poor choice.
It's a very good point.
Yeah. And Johnny, I know you already know this, but I can't stand the Astros. So I'm just putting it out there again, just in case you weren't sure. I just want to hammer it in there. I cannot stand the Astros. Can't do it. Most people can't either. That's my 2 cents there.
Yeah, who can?
Anything else you guys want to add?
Go Sox.
Their own pitchers. Their own pitchers don't
need them. I know. That's right. Yeah, you saw one of them being his catcher and then
said, oh, my God. What a ridiculous. That guy needs to be shot in outer space.
Dumb move.
Because you gave up the pitch to give up the grand slam. Blame yourself, bro. What a dirtbag move. Anyways, my last thing is always go Sox.
There we go. If you want more Bastards of Boston baseball content, check out bastardsofbostonbaseball.com for great daily articles. Everyone have a great one. Take care. Go Sox.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.